Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. I'm going to see if I can learn how to put this on real quick. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to you tonight. How you turn this on? Like I said, I appreciate the opportunity. To speak to you tonight. As you can tell from the screen there, our lesson tonight is going to be about being social, being biblically social, for that matter. And I realize there are people here on, and what I mean by social, we're going to talk about mainly social media and how a Christian interacts with social media. How do we? Should we? And if we do, how are we supposed to? It's a huge topic in the world right now. We've got people in here on all sides of it. You got the older generation who knows nothing about it. People like me who kind of know a little bit about it, but not really. I grew up halfway without it and halfway with it. And then you've got our young kids that's all they know. It is a way of life now for especially our young generation. And I'm not here to bash social media as a whole. I'm here tonight simply to open our eyes to some of the dangers. And it is very dangerous if we're not careful. Go all the way back to our scripture reading a while ago, Genesis chapter 3, we're introduced to Satan. And the first verse says Satan was more crafty than any other being that God created. So from that point forward, it completely changed mankind. And I would venture to guess today that he is even more crafty today than he was then. So many more avenues for him to get in our lives. And he's constantly bombarding us with temptations. You hear people say, well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do it. He may have encouraged you to do it, but you did it. You made the choice to do it. So tonight I just want to kind of run through, and I'm not a tech guy either, so I did put a PowerPoint together, and we'll see if it works. But anyway, we'll do the best we can. But I want to kind of go over some background of where did social media come from. And when I say social media is a big collection, okay? It's not just what we think of as Facebook and TikTok and, you know, you've got YouTube, you've got Messenger. It's basically any way we interact with other people aside from being face-to-face with them. But we know, we established that the devil is there. He is tempting us constantly, and he will continue to do so until we're no longer here. The last verse of that we read a while ago, verse 13, Eve said, Satan deceived me, and I ate. So I could take a poll here tonight before we ever mentioned this, and I could say, give me some characteristics about the devil. The number one thing is going to be deception, probably. And he's still using that today in a, like I said, a much larger role, I think, in my opinion. We've made it too easy for him to come in and target our lives. And so anyway, we're going to run through a little bit of background of where social media came from. And then I've got some numbers, some statistics, and I really want you to pay attention to these statistics because it's very alarming. I think it's good for us to see those. And that's one reason I put them on the screen is I like to see numbers. I like to see them. It means more. Let's see if I can figure this out. That wasn't it. You got to turn it on too? All right. We got to turn everything on. Okay. I guess I should do this before I started. So, we jump to passages such as this, 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 11, and we see a warning here that we need to watch out. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at a proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. This is the big part. We have to resist him. Stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. So, you know, some people you run into will argue, well, if you go back and look at Old Testament scripture, it doesn't apply to us today. You know, we're introduced to the devil. We see what he does in the Old Testament, but we have multiple warnings throughout the New Testament as well. And here's one. Peter's telling us that we have to resist him. We have to stand firm in our faith. It's going to come. He's going to test us. We're going to be tested, but we have to stand firm. Then you jump to Colossians chapter 3, and we're told, verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So whatever we do in our lives, it doesn't matter what we're doing, it's to be for God. It's not for man. We're not here to serve man. And sadly, when we talk about social media, we are basically serving man. We are essentially, and I'm talking, and I'm not excluding every single person. I know there are exceptions. There are great things that can come about through social media. But in general, as a whole, we are basically serving man. We're there to glorify ourselves. And not others, as we were called to do. So, a little bit of background and how this is not a very old concept. It's basically been around for 20 years or so, but it has exploded in those 20 years. So, just to go back to 1992. 30 years ago or so, the first smartphone, what we call smartphone, was invented. Now, it was nowhere near as smart as the phones we have today. Our phones today are a lot smarter than I am, especially. But 1992, we had the first smartphone. Now, what this enables us to do is basically carry with us the internet in our pocket. Jump forward 5 years, the very first social media platform was invented in 1997. Now, it took about 10 years or so from that point until 2005, somewhere in there, when it really started gaining ground and really started drawing people in. But as I said earlier, it is now in our society today, it has saturated our society. We don't know, you know, you look at our, especially, and I'm going to pick on the young generation tonight, and I'll get to that in a minute, why I even chose this topic tonight. But our younger generation, that's all they know. That's what they're taught. But why are they being taught that? Well, they're sitting in mom and dad's lap, and that's what mom and dad are doing. So that's what they're going to do. You walk into a restaurant, what do you see? You see a family of four at a table. What do you see? I know I'm not the only one that sees this. Dad's on his phone. Mom's on his phone. Both kids are on their phones. You try to say something to one of them, nobody hears you. they don't know what you said. The waitress comes over to take your order. Nobody's paying attention. Okay, I've been there. I've done it. Hey, I'm guilty too. I'm preaching to me too tonight. So, like I said, we've got to be careful at what we do. But it has saturated our society. So, like I said, basically the last 20 years or so, it's been around long enough now that we're starting to be able to study the results of it. We're starting to get all this information on, is it damaging? How damaging is it? Just this week, they passed a law. It's headed to the Senate now for a ban on TikTok, which is a gigantic social media platform, okay? They're realizing that it's dangerous to, our protection. They're using it to spy on, on us. But it's not just that. There's been things proposed throughout the last couple of years. Since these statistics started coming out, people are finally realizing, what it's going. So last spring, I had the high school class on Wednesday nights, and I was given free rein. I wasn't assigned a topic, so I thought, what am I going to do? What would be good for me to talk about? Well, the first night, I gave them a piece of paper. I said, I want you to write down three things that you deal with daily, that you struggle with, that you have problems with. So they all did that. There was 12 or 14 of them in there. So we kind of talked that night just about what we were going to do with those topics. The next week I was going to come back and I planned to, run through the topics as many as I could. Well, the number one, by far, the number one suggestion on that paper was social pressure. Okay, this is coming from our teens in this building right here, okay? So this is not, don't sit there and think, well, we're part of the church, we're immune to this. It's not affecting us. This is coming from our children here, okay? Social pressure was the number one. So, with that, we studied pretty much the next 12 weeks and never moved off that one topic, okay? So it was long. They were very engaged in it. And I think it's good, that we did that. But ever since then, it's just kind of become a pet peeve of mine, I think. And it's just, my wife's probably sick of me saying stuff about it, but it is what it is. On top of that, we watched a documentary that was released back in 2020 called The Social Dilemma. I'm not sure if anybody in here has seen it. But if you want more information on how these platforms work, how they target people, it's a very good, and I very highly suggest you go and watch that. It's scary. Very scary. But how these things work, we're scrolling through our phone, we look at something, something looks good. Well, once we click on that, they're built to shove all this information on that one topic towards you, okay? So it keeps sending you things. If anybody in here notice, you'll be talking about something, next time you open your phone, boom, whatever you're talking about is right there in front of you already, okay? It's the way our technology is working nowadays. And like I said, not all bad. It can be used for good. But that's kind of the basic gist of where social media came from, what it does. And like I said, if you want to go, we can spend all night on how it targets people, how these things are built. And the Social Dilemma documentary is all these high-tech guys that were in on these things at the beginning who have now exited because of what they've developed into. And it's pretty eye-opening to watch this. So we're going to look through some numbers real quick, and then jump into see how we can apply it to our lives through Scripture. Somebody says, well, the Bible never teaches anything about social media. Well, you'd be correct. It does not say you shall not have social media. But it does give us some guidelines of how we should conduct our lives and the way we're conducting our lives on social media. So real quick, it's just a picture here. This is a common, I would say the majority of homes nowadays. This is what it looks like. Come home after school, maybe eat supper. And we're going to get into some of those numbers here in a minute. But this is what it's like. Everybody's on their device. They're not paying attention. Now, are they all reading the Bible? I don't know. Maybe. Probably not. But this is what it's like. So we'll run through some numbers. So the percentage of the world population who are currently using social media. Like I said, 2005 is kind of when it all kicked off. 5% of the world population. Jump to 2012, it's at 32%. 2017 is 48%. 2021 is 56%. So over half of the world in 2021 are now engaged in social media. 2024, we're up to 62. You see the trend, it keeps on growing. Put those in numbers. 2005, 0.3 million. So we're now at approaching 8 billion people, I think, in the world, or maybe a little bit over now. 2015, it grew to 2.07 billion. 2023, 4.95. And it's projected in 2027 to surpass 6 billion. So we're talking 6 billion out of 8 billion people are now engaged in this. 62.3% of the world versus 72.5% of the population of the United States. So three-fourths of the people in the United States, and a lot of that three-fourths of people is children, okay? I think the birth rate versus the death rate is like 2 to 1, so there's a lot of children that make up that 75% there, 72%. So let's look by age group. 12 to 17-year-olds, 97% of 12 to 17-year-olds are involved in social media. And it goes down 18 to 29s, it drops 86% all the way down. And even look, I said it doesn't apply to, I said it was mostly towards the younger people. 65 years and older, a third of you are on social media. The average 16 to 64-year-old uses 7 different platforms monthly, meaning, you know, a Facebook, a TikTok, a YouTube, even Messenger. Messaging is included in all this as well. Social media is a broad term. So how much time are we spending? We've seen how many people are using, so how much time are we spending? The world average, we spend 2.5 hours per day on our device of some sort. And I know it's a way of life now for lots of people. A lot of people make their living. They have to use, you know, some sort of device. We're not talking about those numbers. We're talking about extracurricular time, if you'll give me that term. 8 to 12-year-olds, 5.5 hours per day they're spending on some sort of device. 13 to 19-year-olds, 8.5 hours per day. This is per day, guys, they're spending on this. And this is really going to blow your mind. This does not include homework or schoolwork. This is outside of school hours. So you're talking before they go to school, maybe. Most of them don't get up in time to do that before school. So basically, when you get home at 3 o'clock, you're spending till 11 o'clock at night. And this is true. I had several admit to me in class, you know, we'll go get in our room and we're going to look at something for a couple minutes, and all of a sudden it's been 4 hours. We didn't even know it. That's the way these things work. That's the way it's designed. It's designed to keep your attention. Notifications. I know some of you probably don't know what those are, but those are the little things that pop up on your screen that get your attention, that get you sucked into something. The average number of notifications per teen, for teens, 946 per week. 135 per day, that's 5.63 per hour. During the awake time, it's more like 10 to 12 an hour. They don't target you when they know. They can tell by your phone when you're asleep, okay? So they don't send you stuff during those hours. This is interesting here. Anybody in here ever, you know, feel like your phone went off and you get it out and it didn't? Or you feel like it vibrated? 90% of teens almost experience false notifications because they are craving this so much. They are craving their phone to go off to get a notification. How about our attention span? This is pretty shocking. Our average attention span in 2004 was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So 2 minutes and 30 seconds we can focus on something without our mind wandering. 2012, it's cut in half, down to 1 minute and 15 seconds. 2018, it's almost cut in half again, 47 seconds. In 2023, for the Gen Z group of people, our attention span is less than 8 seconds, okay? So we've all been there. We've all tried to have a conversation with somebody, and it's, you know, you get two words out, and they're off to something else. We can't pay attention, and that's what a big thing that TikTok is designed. It's quick. It's quick-moving videos, and it's designed for that short attention span. How about mental health statistics? Depression rate from 2005 to 2017 is up 33% in 8th graders. It's up 52% in 14 to 19-year-olds and 63% in adults. All these statistics are coming from all leading back to social media use, okay? Suicide rates. They're up 47% overall in 2008 to 2017. 30% in boys, 65% in girls, and 62% in children 10 to 14. 71% of people report psychological stress. 59% report bullying, harassment. 32% report anxiety, and 25% mental illness. Effects in females. 41% of women feel pressure to show their body off in a certain way. And self-harm is up 300% in girls ages 10 to 14. So as a whole, how do we feel in general? Just the overall general population. 63% people feel lonely. 63% of parents also feel like it's harmful for their children, but they still let them engage in it. And then 70% of teens feel left out because of what they see on social media, what they're involved in. How about addiction? Social media is way more addictive than alcohol and drugs combined. Okay, I feel like there's certain things we look at as being a higher crime than something else. But if you're addicted to anything, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's taking the place of God or Jesus in your life, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, social media, it doesn't matter what it is, it's all the same. We're addicted to ourselves. I said a little bit earlier, we focus on ourselves too much. We want attention drawn to us, and that's what these social media platforms are designed for. It's, hey, look at me, look at me, look what I've got, look what I did today, look what I did yesterday. We talk about ourselves face to face with somebody 25% of the time. So I walk up to you, hey, most of the time it's how are you going? It's hey, how are you? Not hey. I don't walk up to you, but hey, you know what I did? Not most of the time. Sometimes we do. I think I'm dropping the mic. But then on social media, it's 85% of the time that we're talking about ourselves. 26% of men admit addiction, 34% of women. Am I already at 60? I'm going to have to hurry up. So what if I lose my phone? We're going to breeze through this real quick. 94% of people would feel troubled without their phone. 70% would feel helpless and panic if they didn't have their phone. Just over their phone. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of attention, especially this last week in the news of people, I mean of states and now countrywide as a whole, trying to ban. We're starting to see these long-term effects. So, does the Bible mention social media, as we said earlier? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mention it. But it does give us some principles that we should live by, that whatever we're doing, whatever we're involved in, whatever we're posting out there for other people, number one, we're called to follow Jesus, not the world. If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself. So we must follow Jesus. Our number of Instagram followers does not define success. We're not to love the world. 1 John chapter 2. Most content that we view or post, the majority on social media shows our pride and causes lust. It is a proven fact. It is out there. You can research it. What we view over and over and over again, all of a sudden, that's what we want. We want it. We want it. We want what so-and-so has. We're supposed to set our minds on things above. Like I said, we're trying to please God and not man, number one. Number two, we're not to covet. And we just mentioned that the more you look at something, the more that you repeatedly look at something over and over and over again, it causes you to want it. You know, I want it. And it goes back to, you know, being selfish. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's what do I want people to see. I want them to see what I have. But then I turn around and that makes me want to, you know, I want what I saw that they had. So many aspects leads to coveting. Exodus chapter 20, do not covet anything your neighbor has. Luke chapter 12, your life is about Jesus. It's not about possessions. It's about what you're going to inherit eternally. We should always be thanking God for what we have. Number three, we're not to lie. Ephesians chapter 4, do not lie, we are all members of one another. A lot of content on social media, number one, is edited. It's not true. It is, you know, something we've manipulated. No different than lying, same thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 tells us that as a Christian, we have put lying behind us. We're ahead of that now. We're not supposed to go back to that point. So be careful before you hit the post, but be careful what you're putting out there. I told the kids in class, look, I know some of these, and I don't even know how these things, a lot of them work, but they're like, well, you know, you post it on such and such, and it disappears. It's gone. Well, it's not gone. You may think it's gone. So be careful. All it takes is somebody to see something, screenshot, boom, and it's gone. It's out there forever. So be careful. Number four. We're to glorify God and not ourselves. Like I said, it's posting. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, what I want people to see. We should be talking about God and not ourselves. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 27. It's not glorious to seek our own glory. We're supposed to be about others. Same thing that Jesus was here for. He was about teaching others. Proverbs 26:12, there's more hope for a fool than a man who's wise to his own self. The gospel is about glorifying Jesus. I'm going to run through this quick because I'm running out of time. Romans 14:11, everyone will answer to God, not man. Number five, watch out for ungodly influences. And this is a big one, okay? We get caught up in, you know, following a certain person or looking, you know, at a certain thing, and all of a sudden it just manipulates our life and we don't even realize it. It's kind of like the frog in the hot water effect. You put him in there in the hot water, he's out, but if you slowly bring it to a boil, he has no idea. So watch out for bad influences. Bad company ruins good morals. It's very, very easy to fall into this trap, but we must rise above. Romans chapter 12, we're not to be conformed to this world. And James 4, friendship with the world is enemy to God. Number six, this is a big one too. We're to protect our marriage. If I don't want my wife to see it, or if I don't want my spouse to see it, then I shouldn't be viewing it either. If I have to try to hide it. We see too many broken relationships, and it leads to, you know, leads back to something that happened through social media. If we must hide it, like I said, we shouldn't be associated with it. 81% of divorces use evidence posted on social media of infidelity in court when they go to court. 81% of them, 4 out of 5, this is part of the evidence they bring, is what has been posted on social media. Ephesians 5:33, we're supposed to love and respect our spouse. Number seven, another big one. We're not supposed to gossip. You walk in the door, did you see what so-and-so posted on Facebook today? People ask me that all the time. I don't have Facebook personally, so I say, no, I don't have it. I don't know. But you get the idea. You run into that as well. It's very easy to gossip. It's very easy to spread something about someone else. Especially through this. One button can send it to millions of people instantly. This is one of the leading problems with social media today, gossiping. Gossip leads to fighting, and we're supposed to avoid that. We're not supposed to be part of that. And finally, number eight, we're supposed to use what we have for God, first and foremost, not for man. We're not here to please man. Yes, we do have to get along with man while we're here, but ultimately, we're supposed to be pleasing to God. And whatever we have, whether it's, you know, social media, whether it's whatever you do in your life, you're supposed to be pleasing to God. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. We should be building people up instead of tearing them down. Posting a lie is the same as verbally saying it. You don't have to come out right and say it. So, social media, like I said, it's huge. It's, you know, 3/4 of the world population are using it. So it's here to stay. So what are we going to do with it? How do we go about our lives now that we know? And like I said, it's not across the board bad. I'm not here to say that tonight. There are some good things that can come from social media. The number one thing, well, I reconnected with so-and-so I haven't seen in 20 years through. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it consumes so much of our time, what if we were spending just half of that time in the Bible? I seen a picture, it was a little slideshow of a girl holding her Bible, or I say a girl, a teenager probably, says, what if we treat our Bible like we do our phone? And it's a picture of her brushing her teeth, got her phone in one hand. Then she's over here trying to put her socks on with one hand and, you know, her phone's. And it's just, like I said, it's become so, you know, you don't go anywhere without seeing. And I'm guilty too. I'm guilty as well. But what if we were spending some of that time in the Bible? So tonight, are you, maybe here, you may be sitting back thinking, well, maybe I am spending too much time on there, looking at stuff I shouldn't be or doing things I shouldn't be. Maybe tonight you're ready to change that. Maybe social media is causing you to covet or to lie. Could be causing you to glorify yourself instead of others. Could be causing you to be a bad influence. Could be causing you to be unfaithful in your marriage. Could be causing you to gossip as well. You may be sitting here tonight and thinking, well, I've never looked at it through that lens before. I've never really sat down and thought about it. But my main goal here tonight was just to open our eyes at the danger. You know, we preach on drugs and alcohol a lot, but like I said, this falls in that same category. If we're not using it for God, if we're constantly viewing negative things, if we're constantly tearing people down, if we're posting stuff about somebody that we shouldn't be, I want to challenge you tonight, if you are in that, if you do feel like that, if you feel like, well, I need to make a change tonight. I need to spend less time on my phone. I need to spend more time in the Bible. You may be here tonight and you're not a Christian. You've never been baptized. You can make that change tonight as well. We're here. We're ready to assist you, anything that you need. Maybe you just need prayers. We're here for that as well. If we can help you in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing?